It's Sunday, October 20th, 2024. I'm your host, Alex Jones. This is a major World War alert.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
We are 15 days out, hard to believe, the most important election in world history, hands down. We're 23 days out of the potential shutdown of InfoWars. And then, of course, once Trump's elected, we're able to get through all the fraud, 76 days of hell, where the left is promising civil war conditions and is making clear preparation for it. Trump, for 76 days, will not be the president, and the Biden-Harris-Obama administration has put martial law provisions in place that I've been covering for 3 weeks since we discovered them on air. And finally, it got a lot of attention this week, but only the part about the U.S. military being authorized for domestic operations and killing U.S. citizens, not the whole document that gets into martial law in America. And yesterday, I reread the entire 50-plus page document. Then I went and looked at the executive orders that tie to it to have the specifics, and it is the preparation and really the beginning, because you have to put it in motion, of martial law. They'll call it a civil emergency, but that's really the big news, isn't it? And they could use a big war to do that, a giant cyber attack, a bunch of false flag terror attacks, a contested election. And you got all these different think tank heads and Congress people like Jamie Raskin and Pelosi saying we will be in civil war conditions. I mean, that alone is super ominous. And I talk about it because it's not getting, sure, it trended one day at the top of X. And it was in some of the news, and Fox covered it and said, oh, what's this? The military will kill Americans during an emergency. But the fact that they're setting all that up while blaming Trump, simultaneously claiming he's going to, quote, use the military on the American people, is incredible. Now, the good news is Friday's show, just on X alone, had over 30 million views. So it is getting out. I really shouldn't complain. But it would be nice to see Trump and Elon Musk and others talk about it, because they really got the big bully pulpit, the big bullhorn, don't they? Now, that fits into tonight's big developments. Yesterday morning, I got up at 5 a.m., got a cup of coffee, went and got on my desktop, and boom, right out of the mouth of Xi Jinping, the Chinese communist dictator, in battle fatigues, he's never done that. He's not one to play soldier usually, reviewing all the different military forces in two different speeches that we've got for you in Chinese and Mandarin, saying war is imminent, we are prepared right now, and I want you to get ready for war as soon as tomorrow. He said imminent war with the United States. And that type of talk's not gone on in China since during the Korean War that was fought between China and the United States. And then only when the United States threatened to use nuclear weapons did China sign the ceasefire that's been in place more than 60 years. That's the demilitarized zone between South and North Korea. So that's kind of a big deal. And then you ask, why would he do that? Well, why did North Korea last week blow up a whole bunch of the bridges and railways into South Korea? They said because we're, quote, preparing for war. Here's the headline. North Korea threatens to declare war. Chinese President Xi Jinping orders military to prepare for war. Why is that? Well, we got it right here, don't we? Right here. Remember, we covered this Friday when it was just in the foreign news, and I said, let's wait and see what's said, but now the White House came up today and said, no, it's real. We're going to find out who leaked it. Pentagon documents that Israel planning to strike Iran proper, the actual nation of Iran, with heavy bombardments before the election. Talk about October surprise, but it gets crazier. Bild, the most respected publication in Germany, got documents and reports that NATO is going to give nukes in the next 2 weeks to Ukraine. It's Sunday, October 20th, 2024. I am your host, Alex Jones, coming to you from the embattled InfoWars studios in Austin, Texas. And the intensity of the attacks on this independent, pro-human, Team Humanity broadcast are emblematic and are just symptoms of the larger attacks on humanity. We are 15 days 7 hours, 53 minutes, 6 seconds, the most important election in world history. Then, President Trump will be president-elect, ladies and gentlemen. In 91 days, he'll be sworn in. But in the 76 days, when he is president-elect, the Democrats have prepared for martial law and the implementation of U.S. troops on the streets, seizing control of all infrastructure, and the killing of Americans. It's all public. I warned you of this for decades, and now the secret plans they've been constructing and building and perfecting in the shadows are being revealed. The knife, the dagger, the sword of tyranny has been unsheathed and is now pointing at the heart of our republic and the entire world. And that's not hype what I just said. That's the point in history that we are alive right now. So, yeah, we're not in the final countdown to some wonderful thing here, are we? We're in the final countdown to a collapsing globalist elite that wants to keep total control, not just over us, but the rest of the world, that has good people, bad people, horrible people like the communist Chinese, ready to go to war with them because the Anglo-American establishment, that's what they call themselves, doesn't mean white people. It's the name of the British Empire merged with the United States Empire in their own documents. Putin refers to it as the Anglo-American elite. They think they run the entire world, and they are the big alpha predator. They've got the most money, the most weapons, the most propaganda, and they got us under their boot. But we are wiggling out from under it right now and biting on the boot, not licking the boot. All right. In just the last 36 hours, it has been confirmed what broke 3 days ago. Pentagon leaked documents, big national security investigation. The White House confirms it's true. They would have denied it if they weren't the ones that leaked it. I'll explain in a moment my perspective and view on that. I don't know that for sure, but you can bet the farm on it. That the White House, and this is a real staple when they say this, does not want Israel to bomb Iran proper because they know what that means and what that's going to trigger. So they're really upset that Netanyahu, to stay in power, has already taken out the main enemies and proxies of Iran around Israel before they go after Israel itself. We talked about this on Friday before it was confirmed. I said I thought it was probably accurate. It hit the foreign news. The secret documents were leaked on Telegram. And now it was confirmed yesterday morning by the White House that indeed U.S. intelligence has Israel's battle plan shared with them by Israel to strike Iran with a heavy bombardment inside Iran and their military bases and their nuclear facilities before the election. That's sometime in the next 15 days. Now, if we knew about this Friday and the White House admitted it Saturday, do you think North Korea knew 6 days ago, 7 days ago when they blew up the highways and roads and bridges and rail lines over the DMZ and that river between South and North Korea? Do you think when Xi Jinping, the Chinese Communist dictator for life, came out Saturday and said, prepare for total war with the West, do you think they're talking about that? Israel's plan to attack their ally, Iran. And I'm no fan of the mullahs, but they've been extremely restrained in Israel, cleaning their clock, killing their proxy leaders, just doing a show of force with some missiles that, thank God, didn't kill anybody. Remember, Netanyahu said he will do an investigation of October 7th once the war's over. Well, let's hope the world's not over by the time we find out why Israel stood down for 7.5 hours on October 7th, which doesn't lessen what the what Hezbollah did backing Hamas. And I said it was Iran the whole time, obviously. But there's a lot of geopolitical wrangling going on right now, and the end of the old financial order is here. And so Russia and China and the BRICS wanted to be their new cashless central bank digital currency, social credit score. And the United States, what's left of the British Empire and Europe, the Anglo-American establishment, the Five Eyes, have got their plan. And what happens in history in World War I and World War II and big wars before that, when big financial interests are clashing and clashing, what did von Bismarck said? He said, war is an extension of politics by other means. I believe that was von Bismarck. My memory sometimes fails. Used to be photographic. It's not anymore. It's still really good. Guys, look up War is an Extension of Politics by Other Means. I believe that's von Bismarck, but others have said similar things, and it's true. There's other quotes that war is an extension of business and politics. So you have Israel getting ready to strike Iran proper, and Israel's already promised they are. Netanyahu said, you know, when the time is right, they'll decide. And pull those clips up the last few months. Oh, we will strike Iran proper. That is the nation of Iran. But we'll pick the time in the best way. Probably said it 10 times I've seen him on TV say it. Hell, he said it to Congress. But would that be enough? Yeah, Carl von Clausewitz. Yeah, that's another one that said it. So, another German statesman. But the point is that enough to get Xi Jinping to say prepare for imminent war? Probably, because of the defense agreements they've got, both Russia and China, with Iran, that if it struck proper, they would then respond. But what else would do it? Well, it broke a week ago in Bild, most respected publication in Germany. And by that, most corporate media is not very respectable, and Bild still puts out social propaganda. But when they report, you know, news, it's usually accurate. And Bild talked to senior NATO and EU diplomats that said that NATO's looking at basically giving nuclear weapons to Ukraine in the next 2 weeks so they can threaten to use them on Russia if Russia doesn't leave, and that, oh, don't worry, there's plausible deniability because they can just say that because of the nuclear reactors that Ukraine has, that they could build their own. Wink, wink. Kind of like when the West got caught blowing up Nord Stream pipeline a few years ago, they now blame Ukraine. They need that plausible deniability. Like China has always just come out in policy reports, said they would use North Korea as the trigger on the world stage, a conflict there to launch nuclear war, total war, just like they did back during the Korean War in the 50s. And that was a war between the United States and China, and we're still at war. That was just a ceasefire. Zelensky calls for nukes, then denies nuke plan, but Hungary believes he will trigger nuclear war, World War III. Here's the headlines. First Ukraine nuke ready in weeks, Bild reports. So Zelensky a few weeks ago saying, I'm going to have nukes soon. I'm going to get nukes. And then I was like, no, we don't have nukes. We're not getting nukes. And I've told you for years, Saudi Arabia has nukes. Iran has nukes. Now South Korea wants nukes. They're handing them out like hotcakes. Israel still claims they don't have nukes. They've got thousands. That's been confirmed. That goes back to JFK. Right around that time, they got them in 63. So you talk about a Mexican standoff. That's where everybody's pointing guns at each other and nobody wins. That's mutually assured destruction. So look at this overhead shot right here. Chinese President Xi Jinping orders military to prepare for war. Chinese President Xi Jinping orders military to prepare for war. Xi Jinping asks troops to prepare for war as battle drills intensify around Taiwan. Xi Jinping orders Chinese troops to boost war preparedness. China, Xi calls for troops to boost war preparedness. AP, Reuters, all of it. North Korea threatens to declare war. China slams illegal U.S. sanctions. South Korea needs nukes. Leaked documents show U.S. intelligence on Israel's plans to attack Iran, sources say. CNN, before the election. Iran warns U.S. over Israeli strikes. Iran, weakened by attacks on its allies, braces for Israeli strikes. Has Iran just tested a nuclear weapon? They had a big earthquake in a region, and the seismologist that looked at it, it's being reported all over the news, said that it looks like an atomic or hydrogen weapon was detonated underground, creating a 4.6 on the Richter scale detected in the Siman region. U.S. government leaks Israeli strike plans to Iran. That's really what happened. Great report by Raw Egg Nationalist at InfoWars.com. That really breaks it down. Netanyahu promises retaliation following assassination attempt on his home with a drone. Fox News. Hezbollah drones target Netanyahu's home. He says, agents of Iran tried to assassinate me. Blowback, how Israel went from helping Hamas to bombing it. How Israel decimated Hamas and Hezbollah leadership in 3 months. Israel's historical role in the rise of Hamas. This is all mainstream news. Okay, so that's just some of what's going on there. Just to give you an idea, this is all unprecedented. This is the greatest combination of crises we've seen that even mainline historical analysts say is the signature of a new world war. And then I mentioned this, here it is. First Ukraine nuke ready in weeks. Build newspaper reports from diplomat sources in NATO and the European Union. And then we've got articles, you know, pushing it. Ukraine could rebuild nuclear arsenal after Clinton Obama disarmed it. Well, it was always part of Russia's arsenal, which was just taken out at the end of the Cold War. And of course, you know, they kept a few. German news publication claims Ukraine could have nuclear weapons within weeks. Germany and the UK sign historic defense pact. Over 100 Ukrainian drones down just last night attacking Russia. Starting to see how this war is just spiraling quickly out of control. Now, I don't normally play clips, but it's a short clip that are in a foreign language, but it has subtitles. But this is historic enough. I'm going to play it in the Mandarin Chinese. And again, TV viewers can read the subtitles, but I don't like to tell you something this big. I like to actually show you it so it's on record, kind of like the media will say, Trump said he hates all Mexicans. Where's the clip? Doesn't exist. Trump says he used the military on citizens. Doesn't exist. Or Alex Jones said, go pee on dead kids' graves. Where's the clip? Doesn't exist. So I'm not like the corporate media that tells you something but doesn't show it to you. Here is Xi Jinping yesterday addressing the combined armed forces of China, the largest military on Earth, second largest navy on Earth, with the third largest nuclear arsenal on Earth, with submarines off our coast, saying prepare for imminent war. Here it is.
Today,我和军委的一般人到军委联日中心来, 就是要亮明新一届军委贯彻落实党的二十大精神，全面加强练兵备战的决心和态度。习近平强调，当前世界百年未有之大变局加速演进，我国安全形势不稳定性、不确定性增大，军事斗争任务艰巨繁重。 全军要贯彻新时代党的强军思想，贯彻新时代军事战略方针，坚持战斗力这个唯一的根本的标准，全部精力向打仗聚焦，全部工作向打仗用尽，加快提高打赢能力，坚决捍卫国家主权、安全、发展利益，完成好党和人民赋予的各项任务。
All right, so that's put out by the Chinese Communist government itself. Ukraine can build bombs in a few weeks, nuclear bombs, atomic bombs. Looks like Iran just tested one. Starting to figure out where we're going here. Now South Korea wants nukes. North Korea is threatening to attack. And people are like, well, they've been doing that for a long time. But the escalations have never gotten anywhere near this, and you don't have the West financial bubble beyond collapse. The Chinese are in total collapse, even worse than the West. That's not even disputed. This is when big wars start because that keeps the regimes in power. You'd think you could throw regimes out during wars, but historically that actually props up the regime. So why would the Biden, Harris, Obama, whoever's running things up there, deep state, legitimately, because it's come out in cables and it's been leaked over the years, and we know that John Kerry was working with Iran as a shadow ambassador when Trump was in office as president, trying to derail, you know, Trump cutting off Iran. A large arm of the globalist system really thinks that a total war with Iran will get out of hand and that they've got enough sleeper cells in the West to actually bring things to a standstill. They'll also block those major canals where half the oil in the world goes through. And so there's a large camp doesn't want full war with Iran. And then there's another camp in the U.S. and Europe and, of course, Netanyahu that does want it and thinks they can defeat Iran. And you notice the last few months, Israel's really destroyed the forces and proxies in four different countries around Israel. And they've taken out the leaders of all those groups. And so Iran's tentacles have been cut off, and that has emboldened Netanyahu. And so you can read the documents. They're on InfoWars.com. They're all over the news that Israel is telling the Pentagon they're planning to hit before the election in the next 15 days. So I believe the Biden administration, the people running it, did leak this information. They're confirming it's real. See, if it was real and then they denied it, that means they didn't want it out. But they're, of course, famous leakers. Now, here's another piece of why this is happening. You can look these numbers up. Dr. Kirk Elliott's going to go over this with us coming up in the next hour and all the other big economic developments. They're some of the most intense ever. Update, collapse is coming. Unrealized losses at U.S. banks are seven times at least higher than during the 2008 financial crisis. And if you look at the graphs there, that is what's currently happening since 2008. So the bailouts didn't do what they were supposed to. It made it worse. And that's why you have the FDIC last year in December at their final meeting, the Federal Depositors Insurance Corporation, that, you know, what is a $250,000 backs up each one of your bank accounts, saying, well, we got to get the public ready for bail-ins. They're coming sooner rather than later, but we don't want to tell the public. And they go, well, then why are we telling them on this? Oh, they won't notice because they record it and then post it on their website. That means them nationalizing all your accounts, your assets, your stocks, your bonds, pooling them, creating derivatives out of them, and then you don't own your stocks and bonds and money. It's pretty much already like that, but it makes it official. Just like with property tax, you don't really own your house. You rent it. And then they push it all into the new central bank digital currency tokenized money. And they can decide where you can spend it. It surveils everything you do. They can devalue it. They can increase the value of it. Yeah, there it is. U.S. banks' unrealized losses soar to seven times. That's even in the media, not just the graphs. Seven times higher than during the 2008 financial collapse. Meanwhile, gold breaks 2,700 barrier for first time on safe haven demand. A bunch of new articles on that and what's really happening in the economy coming up next hour. We're going to really go through the documents. I've got a huge, huge stack of news. Hong Kong to bring in measures to boost gold trading. Then I've got all the big banks in the U.S., I say all, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, all of them saying, oh my God, the consumers are about to all want it. It's the new bull market. And that's why they, for the last few years, have been hoarding it and buying it as much as they can until they can't suppress it anymore. Then they say, go to town. Yeah, ABC News, gold prices hitting all-time highs. That's what I've been telling you. When the public finally figures it out, less than 2% of the population owns any gold as a commodity or as an asset, it is going to. And that all signifies they can't hold back the illusion that inflation isn't actually much worse than they say. I mean, folks, I went yesterday to a barbecue place I've been going to for 25 years at least. Gosh, no, wait, since high school. I mean, I'm getting old. It's probably an older place, but I discovered it 32 years ago. Still there, though they're now going to tear down the whole park, business park, and build condos. So they're moving, and they don't know where. The point is, I go in there yesterday because my 7-year-old daughter said, I want brisket. And I said, sure, honey. I'm never going to turn that down. So I get in the car and drive over there. And I got, and I see this everywhere, but 2 pounds of brisket, 2 pounds of turkey, 1 pound of jalapeno sausage, and then like quarts, just 4 quarts of sides, not that much. $200. And I asked him, I said, you know, like 10 years ago, this would have been like $70, $60. He says, yeah. And I said, like a year ago, it was like $100. They go, yeah, we held back prices, but we're going to go bankrupt. It's all that expensive. I go, I know. So, like, food enough, because I wanted some leftovers. We had it again today. Enough food for, like, six people, $200. And this is not some, you know, fancy pants place. It's great food. But how do people pay for that? I mean, a McDonald's Big Mac fries and large drink is $18-plus dollars now. And notice they held back, and I don't eat there, but I read it in the news, and I've certainly driven by and seen the prices and saw it for myself. So that's insane. That's totally and completely insane. And they've been trying to hold back the public figuring it out, but it is absolutely way above 25% food increase costs since Biden got in. I mean, does anybody believe it's 25%? No one listening to me needs to be an economist. Has food gone up 25% in the last 4 years? No, it's gone up 50%? I mean, it is just bonkers. So this whole old system is going down. They need a crisis to get us to look at the back big crisis, war, you name it, instead of the fact that the globalists are behind this garbage. But it's not good for them because people now know about the New World Order. I'm talking about it. You're talking about it. Elon Musk is all over the place. So is Trump. You know, it's hot. People get it now. And so, they got a problem because they've already initiated financial collapse that I don't think can reverse. That's what the economists are saying. And there's no way to reverse this. There's different crash landings, different scenarios. But I like to be tomorrow's news today. So we'll look forward next hour into all this. But first, I want to come back with election news. Massive evidence of illegal aliens, not evidence, it's all admitted, being allowed to vote, not just in blue states, in red states. It's all coming up. Stay with us. All right, I want to plunge into the U.S. political news that obviously the whole world's paying close attention to here in a moment, but I just want to recap and say a few more things I didn't get to about the military potential of war and expanded global conflict atmosphere and climate we're in. During the break, I was sitting here thinking about that I kind of dropped the ball the last 30 minutes. I mean, then I sat here and thought to myself, do I need to explain to people how serious it is, what's going on? Israel saying they're going to attack Iran before the election, and the White House, I believe, leaked it. They admit it's real. Pentagon's documents and battle planning and coordination with the Israelis. You got North Korea blowing up its bridges and railways into South Korea, saying they're prepared for total war. Yeah, Xi Jinping yesterday announcing to the military in a battle uniform for the first time ever, prepare for total war, and they all look completely crazed out of their minds. And our military's, you know, being led by a bunch of men in dresses. And then you've got Ukraine saying we want nuclear weapons, and then Bild reports they're getting them in the next 2 weeks. And then 5 weeks ago, Biden announces that the U.S. has authorized NATO to start bombing inside Russia with heavy missiles, cruise missiles that blow up, you know, whole blocks. This is all insane. And if you go back to 2 years ago, Biden says we can't give F-16s and Abrams tanks because on the threat escalation ladder, that leads to World War III. Remember that clip? Should I play it again? You know what? I played it probably 100 times, probably 200 times. I'm going to play it again. I'm going to play Harris last week saying Trump's going to use the military on citizens. I played it 5 times. She said it with no evidence. Meanwhile, they've signed executive orders, and the Pentagon responded with a giant battle plan for total martial law and the takeover of society. And the media finally covered it but focused on the killing U.S. citizens part. That's important, but that's like one finger on the whole body. The document describes the Pentagon running America and troops taking over everything and then killing anybody that gets in their way. So, even though I knew the globalists were planning stuff like this decades ago, it's still hard for me to believe this is actually going on, but it is. Just like the 325,000 children that the Senate report admits conservatively that they know of are missing, that the government shipped in without IDs and handed over to God knows who. I mean, just all of this in and of itself is insane. The crimes committed by Democrats and that Republicans, by and large, have stood by and accepted with some lip service, are so crazy that imagine what we don't know about. So that's why I've said give it to God. Be politically engaged. Pray. Be the best person you can be. Call for sanity. I mean, look at the footage I'm showing. TV viewers can see this. This was put out 3 days ago by North Korea. And they're Sky Television, that's the Fox News of the UK and Australia and all of it, says that 1,500 units of special forces North Koreans, that means they get food, I guess. They keep the rest of the population under control by starvation, kind of like Klaus Schwab wants to do to all of us. You will eat the bugs and like it. You'll own nothing and love it. You own nothing and be happy. The future is not humans. We don't need people to polish the robots. These are real quotes. You leave the North Korean soldiers, which I've done research on it. It takes an hour to go over it. But yeah, there's North Korean troops in Ukraine and in Belarus. And then you've got the North Koreans running around doing displays of jumping and flipping and the classic karate moves where you put a cinder block on your stomach and somebody hits it with a sledgehammer. And that supposedly means you're really tough. That's a gimmick. Try actually hitting him in the stomach with a sledgehammer, not the cinder block. So it's just, this is their crazy response to nuclear war. Now, these roundhouse kicks are good. So we are rapidly sleepwalking, as I've said, into nuclear war. And I asked a question in a report I filed on X today. We can put it up on screen. Went up just about an hour ago before we went live on air. Dealing with China preparing for total war as Israel's plans to attack Iran before the election are leaked and confirmed by the Pentagon and the White House. And Ukraine can have nuclear weapons within 2 weeks. And North Korea is blowing up the bridges and railways into South Korea. I asked a question. You remember 1990, Desert Shield and Desert Storm 91 and the reinvasion 2003? I mean, there were tens of millions of people running around protesting those wars. And I didn't agree with the leftists that were protesting it, but I did agree with the protest happening because I knew Iraq was being set up and had been told to invade Kuwait when they wouldn't pay them the money they owed them for oil they were stealing, the slant drilling. And the U.S. Ambassador April Gillespie told them to go ahead and invade on video with Saddam Hussein. He'd been our ally and attacked Iran for 7 years and lost over a million people. And not saying Saddam's a great guy, it's just that it was a setup. I knew the history of it. And then 2003, certainly Iraq wasn't involved in 9/11 and they didn't have WMDs and all the rest of it. But going in and picking on Iraq is going to get U.S. troops killed, going to destroy the country more, going to kill a bunch of innocent people. The sanctions alone under the Clintons that tripled what Herbert Walker put on them in the first war killed 2 million people, a million of them kids. When U.S. Ambassador and Secretary of State after that, Madeleine Albright famously got asked, well, it was only a million dead, a million more died. It was a 500,000 kids, you know, good price to pay. It ended up being a million adults, a million kids, no medicine, no nothing into the country. She said, yeah, it's a good price to pay. We'd do it again. So those were evil wars. Those were wrong. And I don't know any soldiers that fought in those wars that I've met. Famous conservatives, famous Republicans, Navy SEALs, Delta Force, enlisted, you name it. They all say it was all a big lie and a fraud. But that couldn't lead to the end of the world. So as bad as that was, and I was against the first war when I was in high school and spoke out against it, and people thought I was a traitor. They had rallies in the gym here in Austin, Texas at Anderson High. The principal was a Army National Guard general. They had helicopters landing in the football field and all the rest of it. Everybody was so excited. And I was informed, so I said it was a fraud. And then again in 2003. So see, I'm not for the Muslims invading us and taking over. That's the left that destroyed their countries and then brought them here. That's the globalist. And of course, it was all based on lies that Saddam threw babies out of incubators and stomped their brains out. Turned out that was a CIA PR firm. The girl that testified had never been to Kuwait. None of it was true. But again, that's bad enough. But Iraq didn't have ICBMs and submarines off our coast. Iran didn't, or Iraq, them too, didn't have a 1.5 billion people like China. And back then, there weren't nuclear weapons in the Middle East except in Israel. Now, nuclear weapons are in Saudi Arabia, in Iran. We've been getting told since 2001 that Iran's 2 weeks away from nuclear weapons. No, they've had them. And I've told you that for 15 years, and now it's mainstream news. Now they're saying they're testing them. So if Israel bombs Tehran, their capital, and bombs the military bases of the Persians, will Iran respond back with more than just a fireworks show of missiles they know that the Iron Dome will shoot down? Or even if Iran doesn't respond back, will the West provide false flags to blame Iran in Europe, in the United States, and say it's the Hezbollah sleeper cells that they have let in, by the way, but claim it's them and even roll up some of them as a pretext for full war with Iran? Will they shoot down Trump's aircraft with a surface-to-air missile? The deep state and blame Iran. I told you that before they started saying that Iran would. Because that's a clear next move. So I would pray if I was you, and I would also call the talk radio, call Congress, go to the city council, anywhere you can speak and be heard. And those clips of city councils go viral, even if you're in a small town. You can talk about anything you want at those things. Just Citizens Communications and bring this up and say, you don't want World War III. Or go to Citizens Communications and pull up the document. It's everywhere. Trend to the top of X 2 days this week. The DOD document for total martial law and killing U.S. citizens. Now bring that up. I mean, let the system know that you're aware of it, because I get this doesn't sound normal. It doesn't even sound plausible to go speak at your legislature or wherever you can and say, hey, there's 325,000 missing kids, many in slave labor and sex slavery. We as a state need to do something because the feds won't, because Mayorkas and Obama and Biden and Harris are running it. Now, that sounds crazy to say that, but you have the Senate report. You see, there's a blind spot we all have. When something is so evil, so bad, so out of control, so disgusting, that it's hard to even talk about it because it sounds so unbelievable. And the perfect example of that is what you've seen the last, really, 6-7 years, but building up the last few, where through BlackRock funding and Democrat Party funding, all over the all 50 states, it's happening in Europe too, same plan, happening in Australia. They have drag queen story time everywhere, pedophile story time. Fat man in a dress, kid bounce on their lap, grooming time. That they put in elementary and middle school and high school hardcore pornographic books that show graphics of children having sex with each other and adults and talk about it and how great it is. I mean, they're literally handing out pedophile publications to kids. And then we've gone down to the local libraries, the school libraries. I mean, crew we have, like Christy Lee, where she had kids in middle school. She's prolific, great lady. She's pregnant again with her husband. I'm jealous. It's like 6 kids, 7 kids now. And she brings back the book. And it's one of the famous pedo ones with graphics of kids having sex with adults. And I'm like, I became very upset looking at it, and I wouldn't even show it on air. And then here in Austin, our crew goes down. They try to read it at the school board, and the police come and threaten to arrest them. They say, you can't read that on TV. Oh, but you can give it to a 11-year-old. So That's an example of this stuff sounds so horrible and so unbelievable, and it's so bad you can't even read it at city council or a school board, but it's going on. So I get it. Evil gives you problems so bad, and it's moving on every front, that people just feel overwhelmed. But let me tell you, you can't just hide in your house or hide in your church, because most churches are just holes where ostriches stick their heads, and hope all this goes away. It's not going to go away, because the old financial system is coming to a close. The globalists have put into function plans that really can't be reversed. And I've not just talked to Kirk Elliott, who's a great economist and called it and very smart. I don't have guests on unless they've got a very good track record of accuracy. Got to be above 95 or I don't talk to you. But even mainline economists across the world say there's no fixing this. If they do quantitative easing, that causes hyperinflation. If they contract the economy, there'll still be inflation. You'll have stagflation, which they say, and I agree, is about the worst thing you can have. But people are coming up from air. All over the world, including in Italy, the government just banned taking citizens' children with their CPS and then giving it to lesbian and homosexual couples. And they're calling it harvesting of children and the theft of children. Russia banned it 15, 16 years ago, as you know. And now it's mainstream news all over the world. It's happening. So they tried to pass a law that the government could say that they are your guardian, and then the government kills you with euthanasia. That got shot down in Canada. So as negative as all this is, there's still some bottom, some point, but it's only because people said no. And that's all I'm saying is, all I know is stuff's going to get a lot worse till we learn to say not just no, but hell no. Or as Tony Montana would say, F no. Not just no, F no. I mean, again, Thomas Jefferson was asked, I made this point Friday in a newspaper interview, what level will tyrants take us? What's the limit of tyranny? He said, whatever you put up with. And the newspaper reporter said, why? And they said, because one group of tyrants will be replaced by some that are worse, and then worse and worse. When you create a vacuum, I'm paraphrasing him, you create a climate where you race to the bottom. And that's what we're under. So the evil gets more reckless, more insane, more out of control. That's basic criminology, because there's no gravity holding it down. So let me move to the election news. Marjorie Taylor Greene was on Friday, and I can't even count up how many views it had. Everybody, I mean, I saw 10 million, 8 million, 16 million, 5 million, 3 million, 4 million, 2 million, just, you know, copies of the interview, just not even looking. It was top of X, top of all over the place, freaking out, you know, Dominion, you know, groups, voting machine companies threatening to sue us, and, you know, all the rest of it. We're totally insane. And all MTG said was, I've got constituents saying where they went to vote, what happened, and she's got copies of what they told her, that they tried to vote Republican and it flipped it to Democrat. And they also threatened to sue you, you know, oh my God, you're saying illegals are voting. That's insane. No, they're not. Well, the Democrats run ads everywhere telling illegals they can vote. They're handing out driver's license in every blue state. And now in Texas, they're accepting illegal aliens non-citizen voter cards because the Justice Department threatened them last month. And I covered that 2 weeks ago. Well, overhead shot, here's just today's news. But remember, none of this is happening. You tune into CNN, oh, there's no evidence. And they go, oh, well, Trump claimed there was fraud in 2020, but judges found no evidence. They would hear no evidence. They said Trump didn't have standing. They never heard the evidence. Now we've gone over the evidence. There's been all these lawsuits and investigations. It was worse than what Trump said. Voters in Georgia, Texas, and Tennessee report voting machines flipping their selections, and Jamie White went through the reports coming in from all over the country. Big report. You should go read it. Infowars.com. Here's another one. Federal judge prevents Alabama removing non-citizens from voter rolls. We have links to the judge's ruling. We have links to local news where they confirm illegal aliens are allowed to vote and are being kept on the rolls. I can show you the Secretary of State on video saying it 2 weeks ago. Oh, but it doesn't exist. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to ban fracking. She said days before the debate with Trump. Trump goes, you just said you're going to ban fracking. You're crazy. I never said that. You just said you're going to ban semi-autos. You're crazy. I hunt. I got a Glock. So does Tim Walz. You have all the videos and our official platform saying ban them. I mean, it's just they just hope people don't go look it up or people don't point it out like we are. Arizona case to reveal 200,000 voters with no proof of citizenship will proceed. Yeah, the judge already said it. Trump says 21 million illegals in the country. Yeah, that's a conservative number. That's just since Biden got in. Trump blasts Kamala Harris for destroying U.S. border, allowing millions of illegals to flood the country. She didn't allow it. She greenlit it and paid them to come here and then let them disappear a bunch of kids. Like Fox News Friday, I was watching it. They're like, in the morning, they're like, does Kamala care about the border? And then they debate that false discussion. Yeah, she cares about using it as a weapon and erasing it. So we got that. I mean, it's just all crazy. And it's all happening. And then we've got this clip that I'm going to play here in a moment. I sent it over, but I didn't see it on the list. Maybe I missed it, but we're going to get the clip and play it in a moment. Someone at Kamala Harris's rally proclaimed Jesus is Lord, and she shot back. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. And then she lies and says she's got a bigger crowd than Trump, and then a lady shot footage of the crowd. It was a small gymnasium. That's coming up. And I've got some incredible Elon Musk clips. Elon Musk exposes the shadow government. They replace Biden puppet with Kamala puppet. He then talks about how all of America will be California-nated. He also talks about the legacy media as the enemy of the people. He is hitting on all cylinders. Here is Kamala Harris. You're at the wrong rally.
With the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
So a few weeks ago, I attended the Trump rally here in my town. Before I dive into what I'm about to share, here's a peek at that. Well, today I found out that Kamala Harris was coming to my town, so I decided to go. I wanted to see the differences. Notably, I had to show my ID to get in to see her. But anyway, I was making a video talking actually about how sad I was that the loudest cheering at the rather small event came in support of abortion, when I panned over to the crowd and to her speaking, and I caught something I wasn't expecting. Check it out. Not a lot of energy here, but everyone just cheered and screamed for killing babies. So that was disappointing. Anyway, here she is. Did you hear that? Some guy in the crowd shouted, "Jesus is Lord." And Kamala said, "I think you're at the wrong rally." And then she said, "Try the smaller one down the street." Everyone laughed and cheered. But I was at that rally. There were almost 7,000 people at it. Today they said there were 2,500. Nobody waiting. Open spaces. I wanted everyone who's a believer to hear that for themselves.
Gaslighted on this. We remember Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court.
All right, that's enough. So we're going to go to break, come back, break down all the financial numbers and a lot more. Let me just say this very slowly and very clearly. InfoWars and its future is in your hands. Whether the InfoWars gets bought and sold to bad guys coming up in 24 days or not, you will decide whether we robustly stay on the air, whether the crew stays with all the great reports and all the great research and all the great support they give me and the other host. I would like to keep them operating at this current point. The funds have not come in to do it. There was a lot of other stuff behind the scenes. We got great products you need. This is an important transmission. The enemy's been coming after us for many years, trying to shut us down. I fought as hard as I can. I can't do it without you. Please go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. Incredible t-shirts and hoodies and ball caps, over 150 designs now. Amazing CMOS powdered capsules, that is the superfood and the gummies, but the powdered capsules are twice as strong, up to 55% off when you get three bottles, 40% off when you get one. It's like 40-something percent off when you get two. It really is a superfood. It makes you feel so good. It's so good for your whole body. It is the superfood. Ultimate CMOS, thealexjonesstore.com. Take action there now and make a donation to our legal defense fund that's so critical at realalexjones.com. And my dad's great supplement company with Next Level Foundational Energy and so much more, and the fluoride-free toothpaste, all at drjonesnaturals.com. Just drjonesnaturals.com. Great products, and it funds the operation. I need your support. It's up to you. The ball's in your court. Please take action. drjonesnaturals.com and thealexjonesstore.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Remember a few years ago, the New York Times said Agenda 21 doesn't exist. Agenda 2030 doesn't exist. So Trudeau goes out in a governmental announcement and says, we're implementing Agenda 2030. Here it is.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Build back better. And I'm looking forward to getting started as soon as we can.
At the end, what the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
All these different UN combines and agreements don't exist. Anybody could go look them up and find out they do exist.
In the year 2015, the world agreed on the ambitious, inclusive, and universal Sustainable Development Goals, making a commitment to leave no one behind.
It is so decided.
Presidents, prime ministers, and other high-level representatives from around the world gathered at the UN headquarters in New York for a high-level debate on achieving the SDGs now that the goals and targets have been set.
We have no time to waste.
We need first to take seriously the goals, because these are the world's goals. They're the only goals we're going to have for our generation.
The Agenda 2030 is going a step further because it recognizes that things need to change here in the rich countries as well. There's obligations for rich countries, too, in terms of environmental pollution, you know, our production and consumption patterns that are destructive for the planet. Tax policies that are creating inequalities, illicit financial flows, all these things. And finally, some very concrete language on governance, on democracy and all that, that.
We're seeing a move in the next 40 years, the likes of which has not been seen for 200 years. And it's real. And it's real. And we're not preparing for it.
It turns out that China is going to overtake the United States in 2027. It was said that this might be delayed for a year or two. But this year, God has pulled off a little trick, right? God created COVID-19 and spread it to every country in the world. We still have 4,000 dead, right? But if 4,000 Chinese die versus 220,000 in the United States, we haven't really lost a single person, have we? In 2012, we achieved absolute superiority over the U.S. and Japan. We have gained absolute superiority over the U.S. military. And we are expanding our military at a rate unprecedented in human history. As long as we go to work every day, we will drive the U.S. to its death.
Globalists, man, they teach at the Army and Marine Corps training centers that America must merge with China for world peace.
We have to prepare for a more angry world.
Well, if you listen to Klaus Schwab and the Davos Group and Xi Jinping, the Great Reset is modeled after the Great Leap Forward.
theme of this year's Summer Davos is shaping innovative societies in the fourth industrial revolution. What does an innovative society look like on your mind?
We are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution. Technology will change everything. Business models, but it will also change society. Mm-hmm. And we have to be prepared for it. What is necessary is to make sure that the population absorbs all those changes and understands that those changes at the end are beneficial for our lives, for the quality of our lives.
Mm-hmm. From David Rockefeller's own words, he's the guy that opened up China in the 70s. They put Mao in the late 40s. 15 days, the most important election in world history. I am your host, Alex Jones. Very honored and blessed that you've joined us tonight. Remember, listeners, when you decide to share the links from Infowars.com/show of the live broadcast and the other broadcasts we do from band.video from the live show section and from Real Alex Jones on X, as well as a new system we're working with some great folks, the Alex Jones Network, AJN Live. At AJN Live on X, be sure and follow that as well. That is critical, no matter what happens to InfoWars, to keep track of where we are and what's going on. That's an action item at AJN Live on X. Be sure and follow that and tell folks to follow that, because we are not intending to let them in 24 days, if InfoWars is shut down at auction, to be able to stop what we're doing. So even if you can't support by buying incredible products, the AlexJonesStore.com or other sponsor, DrJonesNaturals.com, you can certainly support by word of mouth in the information war. When you take action, we're unstoppable. When you don't, we're dead in the water. Now, I've been on air 30 years and 6 months. And I read the Globalist own books, their own documents, their own statements. I watched C-SPAN. I interviewed all the top experts. I grew up around family that was aware of all this. I had a leg up. That's why I was ahead of the curve a little bit. But I'm just somebody that was into history and understood that the globalists already had incredible power, and everything they talked about doing in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, early 90s, they had gotten done, basically, 95% of it. And I looked at the rest of it, and it was so hellish. Ending the family, promoting pedophilia, world government, no borders, robots taking over our jobs, depopulating us by at least 80%. And I'm like, man, that sounds really hellish if they do the rest of this. It'd be like if there was some bank robber that had robbed 10 banks in the town over the last few months, and he said, I'm going to rob 10 more next week, and I'm going to shoot every teller when I go in there. And then they go in the next week and rob a bunch of banks and kill all the tellers, and the next they say, next, I'm going to blow up an elementary school. And I'd be like, well, we better do something about this. Better post armed guards at the schools or cancel school. I mean, I play the clips of the WEF where they're like, the future's not human, and we don't believe in God, but we'll be God soon. Klaus Schwab, Kurzweil, Yuval Noah Harari. I mean, and you're like, oh, they're just a bunch of lunatics. No, they're not. A year and a half ago, the UN voted to make the WEF more important than the Security Council and co-rule with them. That's the corporate arm of the globalists coming into the global government. So here's the deal. I remember 30 years ago, 20 years ago, Ron Paul and everybody would warn, well, when the debt gets too big one day, they'll just, you know, announce a new global currency and roll it all in, and all of our assets, the national parks and everything will be put into one ledger, because they've been talking about it then. Not like Ron Paul pulled that out of his trash can or out of his apple tree in his backyard or out of his ass, excuse my French. And now we're here. Here's the leg up we have. You're not going to have to wait for civil unrest and martial law. They're officially announcing it's coming and signing the executive orders saying it's legal, even though it's really not. You're not going to have to wait for the FDIC to do bail-ins and grab part of your bank account. They're announcing it's imminent. Want to see the clip again? The Board of Governors of it. You're not going to have to wait for any of this anymore, because it's all here. It's not like the, you know, Ron Paul 30 years ago or Ronald Reagan 45 years ago or Anthony Sutton 50 years ago, or G. Edgar Griffin 50 years ago. You get front row seats to it going down. Going down, going down now. Reminds me of the Led Zeppelin song. So The dam's already broken. And let me just show you some of these headlines here that we've got on the economy. And that's why the power structure doesn't care about the law or anything anymore. While they're openly announcing illegal aliens can vote all over the country while telling you you're insane if you talk about it. Consumers running out of money. Former Target exec offers dire warning ahead of Christmas. Zero hedge. Financial bombshell. Top banks now calling gold the ultimate asset. And the U.S. dollar continues to weaken as the global reserve currency, CNBC. That's what we're linked to there. Let me show you some more. Look at this chart. And this is right on the Federal Reserve website. They admit this. Collapse is coming. Unrelated losses at U.S. banks at least seven times higher than during the 2008 financial crisis. We'll talk to Kirk Elliott about that in a moment. Then it continues on here. Gold breaks 2,700 barrier for the first time on safe haven demand, CNBC. Gold is the last safe haven as treasuries face risk from soaring U.S. debt, Bank of America. And I've got more big banks and the communist Chinese, and they've all been secretly buying it up. India was buying it secretly. We told you about that a year ago. Now it's all admitted, and now they're saying, oh, look for the biggest consumer boom ever as consumers discover all this. But Kirk Elliott, since he was on Friday, things are getting very intense now. So instead of having him on once a week, every 2 weeks, we have him on almost every day. We're going to go over this news stack in this hour. He sent me that just since he was on 48 hours ago, or I guess technically 52 hours ago he was on with us, on Friday. Here it is. We're going to go over this whole stack, and we've got videos and everything else, but things are moving quickly. So since you were with us on Friday, Dr. Elliott, tell us about the new situation and what's unfolding, because things are moving, as you said, very quickly.
Very quickly. I mean, this might be the most important financial show we've ever done, because the banks are about to fail. And we've talked, oh boy, over the last couple of months, how since July, Warren Buffett has dumped, you know, it was $7 billion worth of Bank of America. As of today, it's about $10.6 billion of Bank of America. So at this point, he's under 10% total ownership. This was one of his top three holdings forever. I mean, he loved BOA stock, right? So now that he's under 10%, he doesn't have to report anymore, and he's selling. He's probably going to get rid of all of it. And so we start putting the dots, you know, connecting the dots here. And it's like, why is he dumping all this stuff, right? Why would he dump one of his favorite stocks? Well, it's not only that he's sold. So when you look at what Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, has sold recently, it sold all of its commercial banks, except for Citi. That's the only one that hasn't, but I would assume that one's coming next. Since early 2020, he sold all of them. He sold 100% of his 346 million shares in Wells Fargo. He sold 100% of its 150 million shares in U.S. Bank, sold 100% of the 60 million shares in J.P. Morgan, sold 100% of the 12 million shares in Goldman Sachs. He's getting out of the banking, right? But he's not the only one. Ray Dalio of Bridgewater, largest hedge fund in the world, he's dumping every American bank. So get a load of this. So he's dumped $100 million of Bank of America and every other bank stock too, including J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Bank of Hawaii, PNC Financial, Citizens Financial, Capital One.
And by the way, you predicted all this, and we've got to find the clips, but most viewers saw this. Starting about 6 months ago or early summer, you started predicting by the end of the year they could not stop the open collapse of banks.
Yeah, I don't think that they can. See, we saw the writing on the wall when Silicon Valley Bank went under in March of last year. So in March, and we always have to say, well, why? Why do banks fail? Well, it's simple. They run out of money, right? So they have more withdrawals coming in than they have deposits going in. And when their investments are bad, like what do most banks invest in? Commercial real estate. Commercial real estate stinks, Alex. Even our office here in Denver is down 50% in value in the last 2 years. 50%. I'm glad we're not selling it, right? Because we wouldn't without just absolutely just getting obliterated, right? So it's down 50%. Commercial real estate all over the country is because people are running out of money. Just in the last week alone, literally the last 7 days, the amount of withdrawals from banks is a staggering $85 billion. $85 billion has come out in the last week. Why is it coming out? Well, because people need it, right? That's why money leaves banks, is because they need it. Or they're just really afraid, but I don't know what they would do with it other than they're probably buying gold or silver, something that's real, something that's tangible, because they see banking failure on the horizon.
But you predicted on the show a year ago would be the big outcome of this.
So the big outcome, I think that people right now, Alex, are starting to feel like something's not right. Right. For the first time in a year, outside of InfoWars listeners and people that watch Alex Jones show who are very well informed, most of the world just think, nah, it's going to be okay. It's always okay. Right. But now people are starting to get the sense maybe this is not going to be okay. Because of everything you talked about the hour before we just started talking about the wars and the rumors of wars, is there going to be a nuclear war in the Middle East? Why is China doing what they're doing, right? People are just running scared. So they're pulling money out and they're putting money into something that's real. So when you have that many withdrawals in 1 week alone, $85 billion, it tells us probably why Ray Dalio and Warren Buffett are dumping all their banking shares. They know that there's not much left. And so here's the problem that they know, that we know, because you exposed it when we talked about the FDIC being underinsured. They only have 1.17% of all deposits covered now. 1.17. Forget about the $250,000 threshold. This is why Janet Yellen, when Silicon Valley Bank went under, said, there's too big to fail. No such thing. There is something that's too big to fail. The government isn't going to bail out any of these large institutions anymore. We are. This is bail-in legislation that was written during the Dodd-Frank bill under Obama. So under Dodd-Frank, it's already been legislated, Alex. It's not something they have to vote on. It's not something that they have to pass. They already did, like a decade ago, right? Which means we have to bail out our own financial institution. You better be careful where you have your money. Is it in a safe bank? Because you might have to bail them out, right? Your deposits are possibly not yours under bail-in legislation.
By the way, let me play the clip from a year ago, the FDIC basically saying it's imminent. It's a whole two-hour report, but here's just a short clip just so new listeners understand we're not making this up. Here it is.
Whether there are some market tests of whether you're being heard, and I think about TLAC. So TLAC should respond to good and bad news about the institutions. And it's really important. I mean, it's a little bit conflicted, right? I mean, it's important that people understand they can be bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institution. But they're going to be. And it could be an early warning signal to the FDIC and the primary regulators when these things happen. And there may be some other prices. This is similar to what Jay was saying in the market, that you can tell whether people understand who's going to be protected, who isn't going to be protected. It would be, I think, an interesting study to look at the evolution of market prices in a situation like March of 2020, for example, and see whether people understood what might happen.
And in the larger clip we played, and I should probably play all this tomorrow or maybe tag it on to this live interview today after we archive it to X and Bandai Video and InfoWars, they say, well, don't tell the public, but you heard him. Well, it's not if, but when, then he backs off and says, if it happens. And then we have the UN and Bill Gates, all of them standardizing the new global central bank digital currency, the bail-in, the tokenizing of all your assets. I mean, they're really, the EU's already got it ready. China's already had it in place for 6 years. I mean, the big moves are happening.
Big, huge moves. And so, the listeners that hear you and I talking every week, sometimes multiple times a week, you know, they hear us talking about silver as basically a safe haven investment. So here's where I connected some dots this weekend, Alex. So last year when the BRICS nations had their meeting in South Africa, how did Putin open up that meeting? He said, we are going to de-dollarize the world. It's irreversible and it's our objective. All right. So it's a strong fighting words. Right now, today, what have they done? They basically de-dollarized the world when in 2 days. So on the 22nd of October, the BRICS nations are meeting in Russia. And they're going to talk about a few different things. One of them, the acceleration of the de-dollarization of the world. How are they going to finish it off, put the last nail in the coffin? Number two, they're going to ratify and actually admit the OPEC oil-producing nations that they voted in January. So now it's going to become official. Thirdly, they're going to introduce their BRICS, common BRICS currency unit. And it's like, So here's where this gets really interesting with our banks, Alex, because last week, Putin, basically, what did he do? He announced that they were going to add silver to the Russian strategic reserves. So they're not just going to back the ruble with 1,000 tons of gold that Russia already has. They're going to add silver as a strategic backing to the ruble. And I couldn't figure out, it's like, okay, silver's not a very big market. What is he trying to do here? Why would you add something that's $32 an ounce? You know, it's got to be more than just making a profit, because there's not that much silver in the world to actually back a currency, right? It would go away. And then the price would probably go to $60, $80, $100, $150 an ounce. Well, with the amount that they're investing, yeah, anybody likes a profit, but we're talking about a country here. So it's like, okay, this is going to be great for people who own silver, but there's more to it than that. And I think I figured it out, right, this weekend. So who owns the most shorts in silver? The U.S. banks do. J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, HSBC, which is Chinese bank, right? But they own tons of silver shorts. So if they're going to actually, if Russia takes silver as a strategic reserve, the price goes through the roof. Well, then what happens to the banks that are shorting silver? They lose money hand over fist. So in de-dollarizing the world, I mean, look at that volume that's on the screen right now. That's just yesterday. That's this week, right? That's a massive amount of volume. It's so much more than everything else. There is so much money going into silver, because I think with the announcement that Russia is going to use silver as a strategic reserve for the Russian ruble, all these banks that have short positions know we better cover these shorts. We better cover them, because if the price keeps going up, we're going to lose money like it's nobody's business, and we will probably go out of business. And I think that Bank of America could be the sacrificial lamb, right? I think that they have so much that, and if there's too big to fail is not a thing, anything can fail. Well, then sure. How about these big banks that have massive amount of short positions? So what is Putin doing? I think Putin knows in de-dollarizing the world, adding silver as a strategic reserve is meaningless, other than he can destroy the Western banking system. Because as silver goes up, they lose money like it's nobody's business. So when you look at the amount of ounces of silver that are short right now, open interest short positions, it's about 700. It went up. The article I showed you showed 660 million ounces. It's now a little over 700 million ounces. Alex, there's 850 million ounces of silver mined in an entire year globally. So the amount of short positions is almost equal to the entire global annual production. This is an unsustainable thing that is going to blow up in the face of these banks. And so we have to go back to, there is a massive banking crisis happening. No wonder Ray Dalio is getting rid of all of his banking shares. No wonder Warren Buffett's getting rid of all of his banking shares. No wonder.
Well, that's right. A few months ago, you said 7 billion Buffett getting out. Now it's, you know, 70-something billion in just the last few weeks. Look at these headlines. U.S. banks suffer biggest weekly deposit outflow since SVB crisis. Silver shorts, you just mentioned, from commitment to trades. We're just showing all the documentation. Silver prices surge. Banks face billion-dollar losses. I mean, this is silver's explosive breakout. So you've given us evidence here, but quantify it for people like me, like you're talking to a five-year-old. Because I understand this, but I want to still get where your predictions, where this is going, what's happening.
So when you look at what just happened on Friday alone, the amount of money that the banks lost is probably, I don't know, pushing $2 billion. Well, that's in one day when silver went up almost $2 an ounce. See, what happens when it keeps going up? When it goes to 33 and 34 and 35 and $40 an ounce and $50 an ounce. And so every time it goes up, they keep losing billions of dollars. And they're already capital strapped, right? We're already undercapitalized at the banks because their commercial real estate is stinking so bad. So when you have these short positions that they're going to need to cover, they're going to eat up all of their capital. And if they don't do that, the higher silver goes, the more money they lose. So I think what Putin did was a brilliant economic warfare move to actually close down, shut down the U.S. banks, right? So they can actually complete one of their goal objectives, which is to de-dollarize the world. So as we're looking at all of this, these banks are toast because silver is not going to stop growing, right? Especially when you've got a country that's going to be buying it to actually put in strategic reserves. And everything else that we've talked about.
Kirk, we got to go to break. Sorry to cut you off. Stay right there. We're going to come back. We got 30 minutes left. I want to walk through the numbers, tie it into war. And then just real quick, we go to break. Yes, you're a great sponsor. You're also a great economist. You made great predictions here. 25-year overnight success story. I'm joking. Now, you've got the biggest silver brokerage in North America. Would be the biggest gold, but you're not pitching gold. You have the best deals, the best crew, the best staff, where you sell it all at wholesale. Remember, spot means out of the ground, but you can always look at the daily wholesale. That's what you'll buy it, silver or gold, from Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. And then, boom, to wherever you want to take it, your house, depository, wherever, they're ready right now. 4.7, 4.8, 4.9 star reviews. KEPM.com/gold. When you go there, they know you're our sponsor. That supports our broadcast. KEPM.com/gold. They promote the InfoWar as well, a 360 win. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. I could have 10 different gold sponsors right now and make five times the money, but they gouge you. So I'd rather make less money, but sleep good at night and have you happy. We are coming to the end of the old global system. They're trying to bring in their hellish global cashless society, but they need to be seen as the saviors to get us to accept that. That's why broadcasts like this and the important work of now our view of the world, which is from the globalist own battle plan, but we oppose that, becomes mainstream. And thanks to all of you spreading the word over the years, we are. And I am very satisfied. I wouldn't call it pride. I'm not really a prideful person. I don't think, oh, I'm so great. In fact, it's very humbling. But it has been this audience and the crew and our hard work and the guests and all of us together, and of course myself has contributed some, to popularizing how the world really works. I mean, this show is not a political diversion. I use the example of Friday. I'm getting coffee in the morning, Fox News, 10 a.m., but an hour before I go on, I'm sitting there reading, you know, news articles, and I look up and I watch about 10 minutes of Fox with the Chiron on the bottom and a debate about, does Kamala Harris care about the border? Well, I mean, they said surge the border. The UN NGOs bring the illegals in. They then sheep dip them and erase their identities and disappear all these little kids by the hundreds of thousands. That's not, does she care? Yeah, they've destroyed it. It's not like she's done a bad job. A serial killer kidnaps your wife and tortures her to death. They didn't do a bad job. It's not they don't care about your wife. They wanted to torture and kill her because they like it. So I keep going back to this. It's on purpose. Trump's like, oh, the Biden administration, incompetent idiots. They've destroyed everything. They're morons. No, they're run by evil people. They're just puppets. Elon Musk said that yesterday. He said, these people know what they're doing. They're evil. He said, Harris and them are just puppets. Yes. 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 And so You think Kirk Elliott and I want to get up here? Have you heard me with a gold sponsor, long-term listeners, for 12 years? No, because gold and silver was not a good market. And I wasn't thinking of Kirk Elliott. I just went out and these big mainline, you know, companies came along. And this is really important. This is about how good I am. Okay, because I won't do bad stuff. If I was going to be bad, why not just go all the way? You know what I mean? All these other great talk show hosts don't understand it. And I've even told them behind the scenes, they're starting to wake up, that people will sell you collectible silver and gold. And yeah, you could argue in some places in the world at some time, it could go up and you could make a bunch of money off of it, but it's speculative. When you buy gold and silver at wholesale, you don't get it at spot. Anybody says they've got spots lying to you. Spots out of the ground daily, the price of it globally is a commodity. It's like the price of oil. You don't get oil at spot. You don't get gold at spot. That's as a commodity. And then it extrapolates out with refining and transportation and, you know, and sales and insurance and all that goes into it. When you get it at wholesale, that's the real price of it. You get gold and silver at wholesale. When you're buying it from Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, you can go to Kitco. You can go to CNBC. You can go to the Wall Street Journal. You can go to any of the and look at the, and just type in the wholesale of gold and silver. And you'll know when you buy it, you're getting it for the lowest price you can, and it's in stock, and it's ready to ship to you. It's not rocket science. This is the place to get it. It's a no-brainer, and I'm going to say it again because the offers get bigger and bigger, and I'm not a nasty person. I don't name names. But I'll get these big calls, and they'll say, we'll pay you $2 million a month, Mr. Jones. It'll solve all your problems. We want you to start pitching our company. And I go, let me call you back. Go look at all the reviews, all the stuff, and it's like, you think I want to sell little old ladies and people on the low end of the thing, 30% markup, telling them that it's a precious thing when they're in a big trouble ever trying to sell it back from what they got it? I don't need that. I mean, I'd sell it to the new world. If I'm going to be evil, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I mean, I had Henry Kissinger, the head of the Kissinger Group, in front of my producer. Only reason I ever tell that story is that's the one time globalists didn't say it was off record. Because I have an off record discussion. It's not criminal. I won't violate that, or I won't get told stuff. Like RFK Jr. will announce coming up this Friday that he will be endorsing Trump in a press conference with Trump. People are like, you're crazy. It's not happening. Happened just as I told you. Won't tell you the source because I'd lose the source. The point is, when I tell you to get your silver and gold from Kirk Elliott, it's the best deal. And yeah, he only charges 8%. Then he's got all the things and all the infrastructure and all the buildings and all the stuff and his sponsorship. And we get a little piece of that. So the more gold and silver you buy from him, the more sponsorship he gives us, and the more we can stay on air. That's my mission. But he's got to sell a lot of it with the sponsorship to be able to us to get some real money in here. So that's how it works. Evil's quicker, easier, more seductive. You know, why Darth Vader joined the dark side? Quicker, easier, more seductive. I'm not going the quick and easy way. Okay? So you get the best deal here. Keeps us on the air. There's no discussion that if you're deciding to get silver and gold, you need to call them up, free consultation, and here's the best part. You ever want to sell it back? Zero cost. Zero. Nobody that's big does that. And a lot of little places say they do it. Try it when it comes time. This guy's been around 25 years. So I'm bringing you the surest thing there is, and nothing's perfect, but I don't tell you something unless I really think it's the best thing. And you've seen him on for a year, and you've seen everything he said come true. So call him tonight. And they get really busy sometimes. So it might be a day till they call you back. And then they'll try to talk to you and find out all your this and that. And that's great. I would just cut to the chase, and I'd move into silver. And as soon as that ratio hits soon, then Kirk will tell you when it's time to get into gold. And you can sit there with a calculator and figure it out yourself. Anything real can be figured out, folks. Okay? All right? So this is the no-brainer. This is the move. The only thing sure in this world is God loves you and made you. Okay, so but in the financial world, and out of all the bad that's happening, the people perish for lack of knowledge, as Christ said. We have the knowledge. It's not even complex. I've never in my 30 years on air seen something this obvious. Okay, and even if it doesn't explode up a bunch, which it already has. And they're now admitting, oh, it's going to go up even higher probably. it doesn't matter because everything's going digital and fiat. That's all insane and dangerous. So regardless, it is something as a hedge against all this uncertainty. Kirk, I'm ranting here, but I want you to get back in all the news and all the documents you sent me. And by the way, it's a two-hour FDIC meeting, and I always tell the crew, get the FDIC clip. And they kind of find the one that's strong but not as strong. So later when this goes to archive, just put this clip actually on the front of the interview. But here's the actual clip of what I was talking about. It's not the crew's fault. When I tell them, get me the FDIC clip, and there's like, you know, 2 hours of it, how are they supposed to know what I want? They're not telepaths. But the crew thought, isn't this the clip you want? So they actually got the clip I wanted without me asking. Here it is.
Be accessible when people need to know. But I don't think you have much hope of reaching a public that doesn't have a professional need to know.
I completely agree with that. I almost think you'd scare the public if you put this out. Like, why are they telling me this? Should I be concerned about my bank? Like, my insurance company doesn't tell me what they're doing with my assets. They just assume they're going to pay my claim, right? I think you've got to think of the unintended consequences of taking a public that has more full faith and confidence in the banking system than maybe people in this room do, that we want them to have full faith and confidence in the banking system. They know the FDIC insurance is there. They know it works. They put their money in. They're going to get their money out. So there's a select crowd of people that are in the institutional side. And if they want to understand this, they're going to find a way to understand this. There's a bunch of law firms representing this room. There's a bunch of people that will charge them by the hour, a lot of money to explain this all to them. And it's fine. I don't have a problem with that. And they all have huge staffs. But I would be careful about the unintended consequences of starting to blast too much of this out in the general public.
Yeah, the consequences of blasting this out. So let's take the graphic down. I'm going to show people this. And again, this is on the Federal Reserve site. This is all over the news. You can type this headline and you'll get mainstream news with this headline. Update, collapse is coming. Unrealized losses at U.S. banks are 7 times at least, because they hide a lot of them, higher than the 2008 financial crisis. So you understand what that means. It means the banks have already gone belly up. The public just hasn't been told this yet. And so we don't want this to come true, but we have a responsibility to tell you it's already happened. Basically, the economy is a zombie, and now the big money's pulled another $70 billion out in just the last few weeks. So the exit, the rush, the exits has begun. Dr. Elliott, you don't like to put exact time frames on it, but I asked you a few weeks ago, when is it happening? You said, it's here. You said, I expect it to begin the next few weeks. I don't see how long this can go now without it becoming just, you know, household information.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, when we talked about that a few weeks ago, it's like, okay, I think it could happen before the election, which is 15 days away. But I think certainly by the end of the year, you're going to see something big, whether it's a black swan event, whether it is a big bank failing, and this movement in silver will cause one of the big banks to fail. And I think probably, I don't know which big one, but there's five of them that I would be very suspect with: JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, HSBC. You know, all of these have massive amounts of silver shorts. And I think this is why Putin is behind it and buying silver, so it causes the price to go up. But when you look at it, that's the immediate. Right. When you look at the more of the long term, and you hear Kamala's talking points about how Bidenomics is great and they're happy with Bidenomics, it's like, how could you be? Right. Because so look at this situation where I think we're going to have more withdrawals from banks than we have deposits. Total currency and credit derivatives now in the world, $633 trillion, Alex, $633 trillion. That's a lot of debt when that derivatives bubble explodes. Now, let's look at where we are with inflation, right? And this is all pointing towards banks are going to fail, because the median income in 2000 was $32,000 a year. Today, it's $39,761. Income in 24 years has gone up 23%. What has a new house gone up from? $167,000 average to $401,000 average. It's more than doubled. How about the price of a new car? Went from $22,000 to $49,000, more than doubled. How about the cost of college tuition? $10,851 to $26,700, more than doubled. See, all of these things have, and healthcare, more than doubled. All of these things more than doubled when income has only gone up 23%. See, Americans are being squeezed out of just living, right? It's hard for them to buy groceries. So they're going to continue to pull money out of the banks just to survive, Alex. And so you look at the immediate crisis that we see with silver going up, and there's a short squeeze happening. And I think actually Putin is behind it. This is why he probably made the announcement they're going to do that with silver and have a strategic reserve. But moving forward, Putin doesn't need as – he doesn't – he's probably cheering because – Biden's policies are actually helping him to destroy the West. I mean, this is how bad it is, right? So when you look at where gold and silver are basically a barometer against mayhem, right? The worse things get, the better they perform. What happened on Friday? Friday, when we were on the air, silver ended up after that going up even more. Silver closed up 6%. In one day. Gold went up 1% that day, which still isn't bad. I mean, if it goes up 1% a day for the whole year, it's like, you know, probably triples in value, 300% a year. Silver went up 6% in one day. See, this is where silver is outperforming because you've got supply and demand constraints. And here's where you can't manipulate it forever. Because the price of silver has been manipulated for a long time. I think the coordination between the military industrial complex and the banking system trying to keep the price low because silver is needed for military applications, for missiles and torpedoes and a lot of military applications. So when the government needs to buy it, it was in their best interest to have the price down. So this is why you kept having short positions. But at some point, when does that game end? And this is what I want to tell everybody, that game will end. You can't manipulate something forever. You can't manipulate the price of something where the supply doesn't exist, right? So the supply is going away. You know, if it's going away and manufacturers need it and it's not there, they're going to offer whatever price necessary to buy it so they can complete their finished product, whether it's Lockheed Martin or Boeing, you know, needing it for missiles, whether it's Tesla needing it for electric vehicles, whether it's Sony, Samsung, LG needing it for batteries or for electronics, whether it's a solar company needing it for solar power, silver is needed and it's running out, right? And so here's where this really does kill the banking system because the massive amounts of shorts that they have. So answer your question. I think we're a matter of 2 weeks away from some big bank failing to probably something before the end of the year, right? And so... And I'm not in the business of making predictions like that. I mean, I'll talk about the news. I'll talk about the trends. I'll talk about my analysis and why I think. I don't think that's necessarily a prediction. It's just like, this is what happens when trends come to fulfillment. Where are we in the trend? Where are we in the cycle? And I think we're really close to the end game, Alex, and which is why geopolitical tensions are ramping up, why big billionaires that are in the know are dumping their banking shares. We've got to look at those fundamental forces and rationale of why big people are doing things and start to do the same. They're heading to the hills for safety. And I think we should do the same.
I mean, I'm sitting here 30 years on air, and listeners know I don't talk like this. I've never seen something so ridiculously obvious. I'm like, you've got a crew. They're busy taking calls and helping people and taking orders. My crew's been crushed down to nothing. They do a great job. It would take somebody a day or so just to go through the last year of interviews and have you just say this, say that for like 5 minutes and then show the price of silver go just like you said, and gold. And then now you can just, and you're being very conservative privately. And again, are you willing to say what you really think silver and gold are going to do privately? Because that's your private thing. You're not telling people that's what's going to happen. You're not guaranteeing it. But yeah. You've been very conservative and it's been a little bit above what you predicted so far, but I mean, really, potentially on the high end, what could it do? Versus, are there some weird financial black swans that could drive it down?
I don't think there's going to be anything that can really drive it down. Of course, nothing is going to go straight up. You'll have two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. But I think some black swans that are going to cause it to go up this week on the 22nd through the 24th when the BRICS meetings is happening in Russia. What is their currency? Their currency, the new BRICS unit, is going to be a basket of currencies. You know, it's basically going to be comprised on a weighted basis of all the currencies in the BRICS countries, but 40% of the weighting of that new currency is going to be gold. Talk about the demand for gold when you're talking about a trade block that's somewhere between 50 and 70% of the world's population having 40% of their currency backed by gold. Alex, that's massive, right? And historically, silver outperforms gold in a bull market. When gold is in a bull market, silver does better, right? So what does Wall Street now think that silver is going to get to? Probably $75 in this move, right? So I'm thinking by the end of the year, we'll probably see silver at 50. We'll probably see gold at 3,000. And this is where, you know, if you don't understand what I'm saying because you haven't heard previous shows, this will basically initiate a ratio trade when silver is 60 to 1. It's now 85 to 1. And we can compound your ounces of gold that you own by allocating into silver. Now, see, this is an amazing strategy to not just increase your wealth, compound your ounces of the metals that you own without you adding any new capital to it. See, this is coming. So I think by the end of this year, which we're very close, right? We're only 2.5 months away, whatever it is. I think silver hits 50. I think next year you could see silver somewhere, and this is going to be a big range, but we never know what kind of black swans. We never know what banks are going to fail. We'd never know what geopolitical risks there are. If there's nuclear war, like you talked about on the first hour of this show and why China's preparing for that, silver could be 75 to 150 next year. Next year. Alex, it's 30. It was 33.91 on Friday when it closed. Markets just opened up somewhere overseas, probably in Shanghai because they're so far ahead. It's now trading at $34.10 an ounce. Things are moving quickly. And this is why when the foundations around us are eroding and people are so fearful and they think, I don't know what to do. Everything's falling apart. I'm so stinking scared. It's like, you don't have to be scared of your finances if you take action and do the right thing. I mean, look, we saw silver move 6% in one day on Friday. I think we're going to see many, many, many more days like that as the world continues to crumble financially. As soon as we see another big bank failure, which I'm guessing we will have another one before the end of this year, and it's not just going to be one. I think you have one big bank that fails, and you're now going to then see what we saw in Silicon Valley Bank. That Silicon Valley Bank went down. It caused a slight contagion where you saw First Republic and Signature Bank and Silvergate Bank and Credit Suisse. They all went under. It was just like this contagion. This time, the contagion is going to be much bigger because the debt is more extreme. I think it's going to be a larger bank. I don't think it's going to be a regional bank. That would be what I think is going to happen because these banks are so undercapitalized and the inflationary pressures, like we just saw, our wages aren't keeping up with inflation. They haven't for 24 years. We've got a problem, Alex. And I think we start to see things manifest themselves in a big, huge way before the end of this year.
Man, I started the broadcast today with all the nuclear war news. And China's saying prepare for total war. North Korea does that routinely, but not China. And you've got the Bild reporting, which is very respected in Germany. The diplomats say they're going to give nukes to Ukraine the next 2 weeks. And you've got Israel documents confirmed set to strike Iran before the election. I mean, this is just madness. That's obviously why Iran's saying they're preparing for war, is they've got an alliance, strategic alliance, a mutual defense pact with Iran. That's how world wars start, and now there's nuclear weapons. And I'm just so upset at the globalists and just all of this craziness. They built up China, and then China double-crossed them 10 years ago or so, and now that's all screwed up. It's like Hitler and Stalin being buddies at first and turning on each other. It's just history's repeating. You've got all these Democrat Party lawyers, the rest of them, you know, and they're trying to kill Trump. And Trump's, you know, doing stunts, which are great, like at McDonald's, running the, you know, fry fryer and handing people, you know, meals out the window to obviously make fun of Kamala, who said she worked at McDonald's. They checked the record. She never did. So, you know, all that's fun stuff. All that's cute and great. And I get it. I mean, I like to do shows like that, too. And I'd love to have a show just about fun stuff. And I get it. He's going out to voters that see that as a normal guy. And, you know, that Trump is a hardworking normal guy. It's just that at the end of the day, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I believe exposing all this really hardcore, serious stuff, Kurt, is how we're going to stop it. I don't think that. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, people, you said it earlier when you quoted scripture. It's like people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So therefore, we have to make sure that the knowledge is out there so people can connect the dots and make a wise decision for their families, for their future, for the future generations of their families. I mean, you have to. And it's obvious people do perish because of lack of knowledge. That's just common sense. It doesn't take God to tell us that. That's common sense. But yet God did tell us that. And so this is why sometimes, you know, I mean, we read all the comments, you know, it's like, you know, people... So you're just a prophet of gloom and doom, and you're saying it's like, no, we're just saying what's happening in the world that the globalists are making happen, and we're providing solutions for that. We're trying to bring hope into this dark world, and that's our mission. That's our goal. And because I want to have people have a smile on their face. You know, when Paul wrote most of the New Testament, you know, and he talked about, you know, grace and mercy and having joy in the middle of all circumstances, right? It's like, where did he write that from? He was in prison when he wrote that. He was in jail, right? It's like, how could you talk about joy in the midst of all circumstances when you're writing this from jail? This is what happens when Christ enters your life and he can be peace in the midst of the storm. And that's what we're trying to bring people. You bring it all the time on all kinds of different topics. I try to bring it just financially.
And you're doing a great job. And out of all the bad things happening, at least people that are aware are ahead of this some. So there's that silver lining to get into silver and gold. Everybody should call you at 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900, or kepm.com/gold. Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold. Kirk, God bless you. Sunday Night Live with the great Chase Geyser. He's always covers a ton of news, fast-moving clips. You don't want to miss Chase Geyser on Sunday Night Live. It's coming up on the streams at Real Alex Jones and at Infowars.com/show and stations across the country. Stay with us, and Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central on the final days of Infowars, potentially.